Welcome back to The Brekkie Show. Thanks to Bryden's Lawyers, the lawyers protecting your future. Call Bryden's today on 1800 848 848 and 4D Doors, Garage Doors Redefined. You discover more at 4ddoors.com.au. Matt and Joe with you this morning as we get this working week back underway and the divisional playoffs continue in the NFL. So we've got the first of the two games underway already, the Buccaneers and the Rams, and then it's followed by the Chiefs and the Bills, and the Rams lead at 9-0, Joe.
Matty, you've done what Jimmy does.
I know. I know.
Seriously.
Taking over your sports update.
Like, I may as well not be here. I'm out.
Okay, let's do the intro, and then you can do the sports update, because by the time the intro runs, there may be a change in the score.
Yeah, by the way, there's some NFL playoffs going on, if everybody didn't already know. Actually, there are some NFL fans that listen to this program, which is cool. Talk that Rodgers will replace Ben Roethlisberger at the Steelers. Mm. As a Steelers fan, no thanks. Poor Macquarie Pearl. I'd probably have to agree with you there, and I'm not even a Steelers fan. But they need something really refreshing rather than an old dog coming in. Just, I guess, ripping through some scores. A big win for the Sydney Kings yesterday in the NBL. They beat Brisbane. Phoenix had a pretty decent win over the Tassie Jack Jumpers, albeit a slow start from then. Melbourne City beating the Central Coast Mariners 3-1. McLaren, Naboot and Jenkinson with the goals there. And then Adelaide United beat Brisbane Roar 3-1. Craig Goodwin with a brace. So awesome that the football's back on. Socceroos in action this week without a coach, though.
A COVID-affected coach, Graham Arnold. So he'll have to sit on, not on the sidelines, but he'll have to zoom it in for that one. I want your thoughts on the 18-0 extravaganza for the Matildas against Indonesia. I mean, what does that actually achieve? What happens?
Nothing.
What do you want to see that? Are you interested in seeing that? I mean, Alex, you're all over the world of football. I mean, what does that do for you?
Not a whole lot, man. They've already expanded the Women's Asian Cup to 12 teams.
Yep.
It's already not a large competition, but it just highlights the way Asia has to go with women's football. Asia has got a Women's World Cup winner in Japan. So that's more than the men have achieved, but it's just those second tier of nations are far, far less competitive than is the case with the Socceroos, who are struggling to qualify for the 2022 World Cup.
It's a hard one because you don't want to see it. It's pretty boring to watch. Even as a player winning a game like that, you kind of go, well, we're taking the mick a little bit. But you've also got to start somewhere. And so for Indonesia to eventually get to where they want to get to, they do have to be playing in these games. They do need a program that is looking at the likes of the Matildas programs and the US women and the England women, and they're trying to emulate that and be as professional as possible. So it's a hard one. I guess you've just got to stick it out and get through these times.
I thought it was worrying and lovely at the same time when the Indonesian players were more interested in getting a photo with Sam Kerr than actually, I mean, they were never going to win, but, you know, they're focus is about, look at us, we got a photo with Sam, which is awesome.
It was very interesting. Tony Gustafsson actually came under some fire in the 10 coverage. Giorgio Mandale had a real go. Tony's been criticised for not using his young players enough, and he has brought girls into the squad, but there was a feeling that this might be a game where you actually blood some of them. Mm. Courtney Vine and Remy Seamson have been in unbelievable form in the A-League women this year for Sydney FC. Didn't get a look in, even off the bench. So he made a couple of late subs, but playing a full strength side against
Is that Gustafsson though clearly wanting to work on some connections with his main group and taking the opportunity to do so?
He's had opportunities to do that against the likes of the USA and Brazil over the last few months. So I think there was a lot of calls to bring some young players in for this game, and they're going to get another chance later in the week tonight. Actually, they're playing their second game, but Giorgio Mandale was very critical in the post-game coverage of the lack of game time given to some of those younger players in a situation like that.
Isn't it funny in the world of sport where we are now dissecting a great victory?
Yeah.
And kind of going, you know what? Like if they'd lost, then all hell would break loose, and they win by 18 zip, and here we are going, was that any good?
Was it any good? I mean, but that's exactly the point, right? What have we got out of that game?
That's right.
Other than 18 goals that, you know, mean we'll qualify for
what came out of
stages.
That game? What came out of that game is that Sam Kerr beat Tim Cahill's record of goals for her country. So she's on 51 now, surpassing Tim Cahill. She's done it in her 105th cap. Tim did it in 108. Bit of conjecture as to whether you should be comparing the two. I think it's absolutely fine if they both have their individual records and you keep it separate. It's not that it's it's any disrespect to Tim to say that, you know, Sam Kerr as a woman has surpassed him, but actually let's have two great records as opposed to just one.
Yeah.
Maximize the situation.
I don't know if it was a real issue, to be brutally honest. I don't know if that was an issue whatsoever, but it was said along the way and sort of whipped up, and then Robbie Slater came out in his article yesterday in the Sunday Telly and said, no, we should separate them, which is absolute, obviously clear. I mean, if a player in the Women's Ashes team, in the Australian cricket team, comes up and has an average of 99.96, are we saying that that player is better than and has overtaken Don Bradman? I mean, I just don't see how you can draw the parallel. I mean, it's two clearly different sports played by clearly different people on a different level. So it's on the same level, I should say. But I just don't know how you can throw them both in the same stats box. It's completely and utterly different. Let us know your thoughts. 0457 736 736. Tabman 64, Joe.
I love this.
Says boo hoo how. Probably should be boo hoo hoo. Sixers crying like tiny little babies. Play the game within the rules. How is it fair that a player who hasn't played a single game and parachute him into the finals? Whatever happened to the spirit of the game?
Tabman 64. look at every other Australian player who also hasn't played a single game. Look at the state of the BBL. Our producer came in before and said, look, if Peter Volandis was running Cricket Australia right now, Steve Smith would absolutely be playing for the Sixers. He's got a point.
Discretion. Would it have changed the outcome of the game? In BBL, you don't know. But I think
How many more people would have had their bums on seats? How many more people would have been watching?
And fatigue has set in. I reckon that's a big point in case for the BBL this season. It's 60-odd games. In the middle of a summer that's been saturated by Ashes, everything else that's been going on. And there was a time where, you know, you used to just trundle along through summer where you had tennis going on down in Melbourne and a couple of test matches and one day internationals just to sort of not get in the way but keep you going. Now there's sport left, right and centre and we've all got access to it. So are you a bit fatigued by the BBL season so far? And will you continue to watch? There's two games to go. And we've got the final coming up on Friday night. I'd like to know if our listeners are still tuned in to the Big Bash League. 0457 736 736. Asking a woman to take a T-shirt off is appropriate, ask the Rooster Man. So down to the brass, seriously. I mean, this situation down at Tennis Australia will make a lot of headlines, I think, today. Not so much about the Peng Shui issue per se, but about the fact that Tennis Australia is trying to control every single avenue.
Mm.
We're not allowing political statements. We're not allowing banners. We're not allowing things to get out of hand here. And you made a really good point. So, and via our listener who said, well, what if all of a sudden the crowd starts chanting? Do you kick them out? Do you tell them to go off? What if you don't like the opposition player?
It's a funny situation. For anyone who's not fully across it, there are a couple of spectators who had Where is Peng Shui T-shirts on. So Tennis Australia are saying, look, that's a political statement. We can't allow it. Please, you know, take your T-shirts off, leave, whatever the situation is. Here is the audio of exactly what happened.
The Australian Open does have a rule that there can't be any political slogans. So that is a rule that's part of the condition of entry.
This isn't a political message. This isn't someone saying vote the Liberal Party, vote the Labor Party. This is a female tennis player who's being persecuted, and Women's mm-hmm. Tennis Association has spoken out for her. Mm-hmm. And they're just simply speaking up what the Women's Tennis Association is saying.
Yeah, I understand.
Where's the political message?
Yes, I understand what you're saying. However, Tennis Australia does set the rules.
It absolutely makes a point. They are actually on their T-shirts. Have their what the WTA and what TA are in full support of,
yeah.
Which is her well-being.
Mm.
So, oh, it's
political.
It
statement.
Blows my mind.
I like that act. It's like, this is not an ad for the Liberal Party or the Labor Party. This is not a political campaign. It's just very simple. And the guy goes, "I understand what you're saying."
I actually feel bad for the security guard who's the messenger in the middle there, having to do something that's obviously really uncomfortable. Probably doesn't necessarily believe it himself.
Security and police. Oh, dear. 0457 736 736. Let us know your thoughts this morning.